Last we had discussed in regards to the importance of salah, that salah does not drop off from any person. It is obligatory upon everyone. Many a times people ask the question that what happens when a person is traveling, he's on the aeroplane. So there, the person has to perform salah. So yes, there also, when the time of salah sets in, it is obligatory on a person to perform salah at that time as well. And there are many, many masail to that. For example, like one common question that they ask there as well, is that now many of the current day airlines, like Qatar and these airlines, they don't even permit you to stand and perform salah. Whereas the qiyam, the standing posture in salah, is obligatory. A person has to stand and perform salah. Yes, it's a different case if a person, he cannot go into sajda, for example, due to old age or because of some illness, then obviously the qiyam will fall off. Then for that person it is better to sit on the floor and perform salah. And sometimes a person, he cannot go into sajda, so he has both options. Some of them have written, there's both options. You can either, you sit down or you stand. You stand, or for example, a person is sitting on the chair. So now he can stand for the qiyam, and then when it's time to go into ruku, sajda, he sits on the chair. Or the other option is a person, he sits from the beginning on the chair and he reads his entire salah. So a person has got both options. But now if a person is reading salah on the aeroplane and he cannot stand, now qiyam was fard, and he had the ability of standing, he had the ability of going to sajda, but because they did not permit him. So when the time of salah comes in, you will perform your salah, sitting in your seat. But when you land, all those salahs that have been read in the plane, all those salahs will have to be repeated now, once you land. So that is a masalah in regards to the plane. And there are many other masail also. People ask that which time do you follow? For example, you leave South Africa, you are now flying for Umrah. So, are you going to follow the South African time to perform salah? Which time are you going to follow? So that area that you are passing, at that particular time, that particular moment, you need to find out what is the time at that particular area. And according to that, a person has to perform salah. So there are many other masail also. When there is a need, a person needs to find out, then find out from the ulama, from the muftis, they will be able to assist with these masail. We're just discussing the importance of salah, that no person is excluded from salah. It is upon every person. Similarly, a person, he is a ma'zur. Ma'zur is, for example, a person, let's assume his hand is bleeding. Now this bleeding is continuous. It is continuous. It doesn't stop even for a single moment. So, if say for example the time of Zuhr came in at 12:30, and from 12:30 this person starts bleeding. Now this blood continues, and the time of Zuhr goes out, let's assume at 3 o'clock. So he continuously bleeds right up to before 3 o'clock, he's still bleeding. So his person cannot perform salah because he is bleeding. So he must wait for the last time of Zuhr. Zuhr comes in at 3 o'clock, for example, just after 2:45, 2:50. Quickly he will make wudu. And then while he is bleeding, it becomes permissible for him now in that state to perform salah. Because he is now categorized as a ma'zur. Or there are those people that suffer from urine drops, continuous urine drops. Here it's not just a thought, but actually there are urine drops that are emerging all the time. So if a person, he falls in this category as well, then the same ruling is going to apply. He will have to wait for the first namaz time, right till the end. And then about 10 minutes before the end of the salah time, he will make his wudu and he will perform that Zuhr salah. Now when the first namaz time elapses, only the first namaz time, you will have to wait right till the end. Now let's say you go into the next namaz time, now Asr time came in. At 3:01, Asr time entered. Now when Asr time has entered, now you don't have to wait for the entire namaz time any longer. If this illat and this reasoning is found even once, let's say after 3:01, the blood came out once. Now you make wudu, and with the blood flowing, you continue with your namaz. You continue with your salah, and all the nafil salah, whatever nafil sunnah you want to read in that time, with that same wudu, while you are bleeding, it is permissible to read how many nafil you want, sunnah, whatever you want to read, qaza you want to read, you can read. Only when the next namaz time, every namaz time that comes in, subsequent namaz time that enters, you will have to perform a new wudu and perform. The same ruling applies to a woman. She has a bleeding, not the menstrual cycle. The menstrual cycle is referred to as haiz. And besides the menstrual cycle, there is another bleeding that is because of some illness. That is referred to as istihaza. So this bleeding of istihaza, woman that is in istihaza, she follows the same ruling that a mazur follows as well. So even a person that is bleeding or a person that is suffering from continuous urine drops, he too is not exempted, but such a person also has to perform salah. The fuqaha have also written that the status of salah is so high, it is so great, that if a person had to commence his salah, it is not permissible, it is haram for a person to break that salah if he doesn't have a valid reason. You commence your salah, Allahu Akbar. And now a person says, you know what, I want to break this salah. If he doesn't have a valid reason to break that salah, it is haram to break that salah. Irrespective, whether it's a farz namaz, whether it's a wajib salah, whether it's a nafil. Nafil, as long as you haven't started, is nafil. When you commence the nafil, now it becomes wajib and obligatory to complete that nafil. Nafil fast is nafil. But when you start a nafil fast, it becomes obligatory to complete that nafil fast. So say you started the nafil namaz, and you had a valid reason, you broke that nafil namaz. So when you broke the nafil namaz for a valid reason, now it's obligatory for you later to read that nafil namaz to make qaza of that nafil namaz. Similarly for a nafil fast, you started the fast, it was nafil. But once you started and you broke it, later on you'll have to now keep that fast which you have already started. So a person, there are certain exemptions to the rule. For example, somebody, he commenced his salah, and then now somebody came to steal, now he's stealing your shoes. So in such a situation, this is a valid excuse to break your salah, to go and protect your belongings. The masail will all come in best over this discussion, not about masail. We're just going through it, we're discussing the importance of salah, so these masail just came up. But all this will come in detail in best over. Whoever is doing best over, you'll get it there. So a person for his belonging to break his salah, it is permissible now to go and protect his belonging. He can break his salah and go protect it. Similarly, for the perfection of salah, it is permissible to break one salah for the perfection of that salah. What this means is, say for example, a person, he was traveling, he came to a masjid. Now in this masjid, let's say it's a country town, maybe a few families that are just living there, 2-3 families that are there. So they know the namaz times. Now they don't have a board with all the namaz times that are written on it. And many a times it happens that sometimes it's just the imam and one person or two people that come for salah also. So this person, he came into this place to perform salah, there's no times on the masjid board, nothing. And he said that, you know what, I'm musafir, let me make my salah. And then I'll continue. So he commenced his salah, Allahu Akbar. So now when he commenced his salah, just then, a minute later, the iqama went. People just came in, they called the iqama, and jamaat is starting. So for him, it is permissible to break that salah of his. Why? Because the perfection of his salah lies here in jamaat salah. So he can break his salah there and can come and join the jamaat salah. But there are laws. Obviously there are rules and regulations how you should break the salah depending on the number of rakats you have finished, etc. There are a lot of details to it. So that also comes in best as ever. That how he should break his salah and then come and join the jamaat. So there also that's a valid excuse for a person to terminate his salah. Or for example, somebody is in need, he's desperate. And he calls out for help, and there is no one else to help him. For example, a blind person is walking. And now, there's a well that is in front. Now, that blind person is going to fall. He's going to lose his life. So here it becomes permissible for a person to break his namaz to save the life of that blind person. So there are certain reasons why it is permissible for a person to break his salah. But normally, under normal circumstances, that where a person does not have a valid reason, then it is haram for a person to break that salah that he has already commenced. So from here we understand plus minus how important salah is in the life of a Muslim, how many masail attached to salah. And these masail also, no matter how much we go through it, a person, he forgets. And there are many masail that we'll never know. It's only when these masail crop up, when they come up, then you have to go and search the kitabs, and then you'll find. And you'll find that the masail of salah, there are kitabs and kitabs written upon it. Chapters upon chapters. Different fatawa kitab, different masail. But there's so much that is written on salah. This indicates us the importance of salah. Now this kitab that we're going to do, Anwar al-Salah, this kitab has been written by Hazrat Shah Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullah Ali. Hazrat Shah Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullah Ali, he was Shaheed. He was martyred when they had fought against the British. You know, the British had also come into India in approximately 1857, I think, around there. And when they had come into India, our Akabirin, they were not people that only sat in the madrasa and taught in the madrasa. But in the political field, Hazrat Madni Rahmatullah Ali was in the forefront. When it came to the aspect of jihad, many of our Akabirin here also, they were in the forefront. They fought against the British as well. This Hazrat Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah Ali mentioned about him as well. Hazrat Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah Ali, that he had gone to Makkah Sharif and he was in hiding. And they handed him over. He actually handed himself over to the British. He said that, why must somebody else go through some difficulty because of me? He was in the hiding in the basement. And he came out and he handed himself over. So the Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah Ali, he was put in prison. And many Buzruks, many Akabirin were put into prison. And not only the Akabirin, but if you look at the Aimmai Mujtahideen, Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Ali, he was also, they were put into prison. Imam Ahmad Rahmatullah Ali, they were lashed. They were put into prison, they were tortured in prison. So this has always been the tariqah of our Akabirin, has always been in the lives of our Akabirin, that they had to suffer, they had to go through a lot of difficulty as well. Allah Ta'ala protect us, we are very, very weak, we are nowhere near them, but they went through these difficult times. So Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah Ali, he was put into prison. And it is mentioned that when he was in prison, when it would be the day of Jumu'ah, that even when they were there, so much of azamat, so much of greatness they had in their hearts for the symbols of Islam. And Quran says, وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Whoever reveres, whoever shows honor to the symbols of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then this is a sign of taqwa that is in the heart of a person. When you got taqwa, you will honor the symbols of Allah. For example, the topi. This is a symbol of Allah Ta'ala. This is from Sha'airullah. A person should show utmost respect to the topi. The azan that has been called, this is from Sha'airullah. So a person should show full respect when the azan is been called out. The day of Jumu'ah, this is also from Sha'airullah. So all these things, a Muslim, he should show respect to all these things. So Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah, when he was in prison on the day of Jumu'ah, he used to dress up. He used to wear his clean clothing for Jumu'ah, etc. And then he used to come to the gate of the prison, to wherever the gate was, he would come up to that point. And then he would say that this is what was within my ability, within my ikhtiyar, within my choice. I could come up to this point. Further than this, I cannot go for the Jumu'ah Salah. And then he would then return, he would go back again into the prison. So this is how they revered the day of Jumu'ah. Is mentioned when it was used to be Qurbani. We normally buy our Qurbani animal maybe a couple of weeks before Qurbani. And then it's the day of slaughtering. We slaughter the animal and Qurbani is over. Many people, you see, people are suffering in other parts of the world. So now let us send our Qurbani to other parts of the world. So there also a person should check his ikhlas. That if he sincerely, is that his niyat? If that's his niyat, then holier people are suffering. Why only then you sending? Holier, why you don't send? Perhaps is it not that the cost factor, there you're getting it for 200 and 300 rand a share, and here you have to pay 2,000 rand for one share. So as a Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah Alayh, this is how they had love for every aspect of deen. That he used to buy his Qurbani animal 1 year before. 1 year in advance, he will buy his goat. And this goat used to live with Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah Alayh. Used to be with Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah Alayh all the time. He used to go to madrasa, the goat is going to madrasa. Comes back from madrasa, the goat will come back. And then when it would be approximately a week before Qurbani, he used to buy jalebi, sweet meat. And this jalebi, the sweet meat, which is a delicacy, which is expensive, he used to feed this to his Qurbani animal. And then he would make Qurbani of that animal. Now when your heart is attached to that animal, to this extent, now what difficulty and what pain a person goes through in slaughtering that animal, that is the reality of Qurbani. Qurbani is not just putting that knife and slaughtering and finish everything gone, or writing out one check and Qurbani is made. No, this is that jazba, this is that desire, this is that connection a person should have, and then slaughter the animal and see what is that reality of that Qurbani. So the Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah also went into prison. When he went into prison, then his student, Hazrat Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madani Rahmatullah Alayh, Shaykhul Islam. So Hazrat Madani Rahmatullah said, my Ustad, he's going in prison and I'm going to remain behind. Not possible. I was explaining to us one time, he said, Hazrat Hakim Sa, Hazrat Mawlana Abrarul Haq Sa Bhardoi Rahmatullah Alayh. He was in Pakistan and then he had gone to the airport. But for some reason, Hazrat had to sit the night in the airport. And Hazrat explained to us, he said that the wheelchair, whatever he was sitting in, he said, face it towards the wall. Face it towards the wall. so that the gaze of a person is protected. Allah Ta'ala, give me the tawfiq, give all of us the tawfiq, that these realities come into us. It's easy for us to talk, but when the test is there, we are very, very weak. Allah Ta'ala, give me the tawfiq. So he said, face it in the direction of the wall. So he said that Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah said, he said, this is my sheikh, and he is sitting in the airport, and I'm here in my comfort, not possible. He said, take me to the airport. I'll spend the night with him there. I'll stay there with him till the next morning when it is his departure, and he'll depart. So they had a lot of adab, a lot of respect. This is also lacking to a very great extent. Firstly, in myself, that is why we're talking about it. Allah give me the tawfiq, all of us the tawfiq, to have this adab. So the Madni Rahmatullah also, he went to with his ustad, Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah, he went to prison. And when he went into prison, it used to be extremely cold also, and no hot water in prison. And we know that if a person, like when he goes to istima, or there's no hot water, how difficult it is to make wudu in that cold water. It is difficult. And once when we went to Thailand, so in Thailand, all the homes, I'm talking of the locals where they stay. So the locals that are staying there, the whole of that South Thailand, those are all Muslims. In fact, they had a Muslim king at one time. But all the homes that are there, they don't have a geyser. They bath with cold water. So for them it is easy, they're used to it. But for us, very, very difficult. If you go there and you're staying there, you cannot use that cold water. You have to warm that water and then take hostel. So it's difficult for a person. So here also there was cold water. But Hazrat Madni Rahmatullah Alayhi, to make it easy for his ustad, that water used to be put into a pitcher. Some type of a container where they would keep the water. And then Hazrat Madni Rahmatullah Alayhi used to attach that to his stomach. And he used to sleep with that attached to his stomach. So this is not going to warm the water. It's not going to make it hot for the morning. But at least it won't be freezing cold like when it comes out of the pipes or comes out of the tap in the morning. It won't be so cold. And in this way he used to serve his ustad that he will wake up now for tahajjud namaz. So give him this water, that he will make wudu, and then he will perform tahajjud namaz. And then came the Mubarak month of Ramadan when he was in prison. Then Hazrat Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah started crying. So they used to give him a lot of hiding. He used to lash him also. So Hazrat Madni Rahmatullah went, he said, Hazrat, what's wrong? Why are you crying? Did they hit you? What happened? So Hazrat said that no, Hussein Ahmad, Hazrat Mawlana Madni Rahmatullah, that was his name, he says that the month of Ramadan has come. And neither are you Hafiz al-Quran, neither am I Hafiz al-Quran. So he says, our month of Ramadan is going to pass without Quran Sharif being recited, without Khatam of Quran in Tarawih Salah. Today, if a person where they have quick Tarawih, so many paras a night, and then we finish, now it's easy. Now we just read for the rest of the month from Alam Tara, because my sunnah has been fulfilled. One is the sunnah of making one Khatam. And one is the sunnah that a person reads for the whole month of Ramadan. So one sunnah is finished, now I'll read for the rest of Ramadan, I'll read Alam Tara. But no, they were not like that. He cried because there was no hafiz to recite Quran Sharif in the month of Ramadan. So Hazrat Madni Rahmatullah was a student also. He said, Hazrat, don't worry. I will learn the Quran Sharif, inshallah. And every day in the day, he used to learn one para. And that one para he used to read at night in Tarawih Salah. In 1 month he became Hafiz of the Quran. So this is how he served his ustad, Hazrat Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah. But then how Allah accepted him? After that, Hazrat Madni Rahmatullah Alayhi, he taught hadith in the haram of Madinatul Manawara. In front of Rauza Mubarak, he used to sit and he used to teach hadith. On one occasion the Ishkal came about where he said, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is alive, he's Hayatul Nabi, he's alive. So one student, he lifted up his hand, he had an ishkal, he wanted some clarification on this matter. So the Madni Rahmatullahi replied that Nabi alayhi salam 100% he is alive, and that's the belief of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is 100% alive. And when we make salam to him, he's replying to our salam. And if you make salam from a distance, you send salawat from a distance, then inna lillahi ta'ala malaikatan sayyahin yuballighuni an ummati as-salam. Allah Ta'ala has malaika. They're moving around all over in the earth. When durood and salam is sent, they convey to Nabi alayhi salam. But when you're there, the direct jawab is given from by Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi salam. So he answered that student. Then another student, he asked the same, and also another question. He wanted clarification. So Hazrat, again he responded. Then came a third student, and he raised his hand. He also wanted clarification on the issue. Hazrat Madni Rahmatullah just looked at the Rauza Mubarak. Nabi Salaam was sitting over there. So that was the position of Hazrat Madni Rahmatullah. But when they made khidmat in this way, when they served, how Allah Ta'ala opened the way, where Allah Ta'ala to them. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq also a little bit. Even if a speck of that we can get, Allah Ta'ala gives it to us. Where won't we reach? Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq inshaAllah. They mentioned that there was one Qari Sahib was here in one jalsa and he was explaining. He says that in the previous day they used to play one game. He says Guli Danda, they used to call it. We never see those days also. So now they would play with a piece of wood and hit it. So all the children were playing. So one child, whenever he'll hit that piece of wood, one elderly person was sitting there. So he used to get up, perhaps not so elderly, whatever his age must have been. So he would get up and he would go and collect that wood. And he would bring it and he would give it back. So then they asked him, they say, but all these children are playing, that why don't you pick up the wood for all of them? Why this particular student, this particular child, when he hits, then you go and fetch the wood? He said, this is the son of my ustad. So out of respect for my ustad, that when his son plays, that when he hits that wood, I go and pick it up for him. So how Allah Ta'ala blessed him, in 1 month he completed Quran also as Madni Rahmatullah Alayh. The other person that completed Quran like this was Mullah Nanoti Rahmatullah Alayh. Mullah Qasim Sahib Nanoti Rahmatullah Alayh. In those days when they used to go for Hajj, then they used to leave in advance, 3-4 months in advance, because they used to travel by boat and the boats used to move for the movement of the wind. So if there's favorable wind, then it moves in that particular direction. So they had left in the month of Sha'ban, and then came the month of Ramadan. So when Ramadan came down, Hazrat Nanoti Rahmatullah also wasn't Hafiz al-Quran. So the first day, they read Alam Tara. And the next day, he couldn't take it. That Ramadan, and we hear, and we perform in Taraweeh, no Khatam of Quran. So Mawlana Nanoti Rahmatullah also, he said, let me start my Hifz. And then he started memorizing. And every day he used to learn in the day, and he used to read that in Taraweeh Salah at night. He also in the Mubarak month of Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala made it such, that he became Hafiz of the Quran. In one kitab, I think it's called Fazail al-Huffaz, the Fazail of all the Huffaz of the Quran Sharif. Very big kitab, I think well over 1,000 pages. So in there is an incident that is written, Kamal, how one person became Hafiz. So he says that this person, he said he was memorizing of the Quran, he was become Hafiz of the Quran. But his uncle used to always speak on him. His uncle used to always speak on him because generally boys that are in Hifz, they trouble a lot. They don't learn also. So this is in this zamana. But perhaps in that zamana, it wasn't like that. So anyway, he wasn't learning. So the uncle used to pick on him. So this person, I think his name was Hisham bin Kalbi, he went into one particular room. He went into a particular room and he locked himself in that room. And then he started memorizing Quran. He says that within a period of 3 days, he became Hafiz of Quran. 3 days, he completed Quran Sharif. And then he says that what I have achieved, perhaps nobody has achieved, memorizing Quran in this period of time. But he says that the error that I made, perhaps nobody made this error also. Always remember that when pride comes in, you achieve something, Allah Ta'ala gives you a very high rank, you manage to reach your goal, your objective. Now, person becomes proud that this is what I have achieved, this is where I have got. So that person, as quick as he went up, he will come crumbling down also, just as quick. And he will make an error just as quick. For example, a person is a motor mechanic. So, he is always fixing cars. Now, there's a certain job that he does, for example, to fit in a fan belt. So that will take him maybe 5-10 minutes to fit that in, because he's doing it so often. He's an expert in that field. So if somebody comes to him one day, they say, you know what, I need a fan belt fitted. So he says, you sit on here, this is a piece of cake for me, nothing. I'll do it for you. Just now do it. 5 minutes, I'll sort it out for you. That day when he will go to fit that fan belt, something will go wrong, he'll spend the whole day fitting that one fan belt. Now he'll wonder, why? Why am I going wrong over here? I can't fit this thing. That pride came in. I'll do it in 5 minutes. I'll do it in 10 minutes. It's supposed to be attributed to Allah Ta'ala. Allah gave me the tawfiq, that is why I'm able to do it. The person is a computer IT. He's an expert, top of the range. And somebody took some work, he says, this is nothing for me. Don't worry, leave it here. I'll sort it out. That's the day when he goes to work on it, he has the most amount of problems. He can't sort it out. And later on, he realizes, small little thing it was, we couldn't sort it out. But what put you through that difficulty, that pride that came in? This is nothing for me, I'll sort it out. No, take Allah's name. Allah will help me, inshallah, we'll do it. With Allah Ta'ala's permission, we'll sort it out. Then Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala will make it easy. So he also, he says that the error that I made, perhaps nobody made such an error. So he says one day he went in front of the mirror, and then he looked at his beard. So he says he saw that it's very long. It was the practice of Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala. That Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala, when the beard would be more than a foot length, then whatever was below the first, Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala would cut that out. So on all sides, a person was measured, it must be of a foot length on every end. And then what is over the first length, then that must be trimmed. So he went to, when he saw in the mirror that it is long, so he put his foot and he went to cut the beard, trim the beard from below. But instead of trimming from the below, what he did, he trimmed it on top. So he says, the error that I made, perhaps nobody has made such an error. And what I have achieved, perhaps nobody has achieved this. So anyway, we're talking about the ulama of Deoband, and we went this way. So the ulama of Deoband were such that they fought against the British. They were in the forefront in everything. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has blessed them. This is those that have followed the way of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has really blessed them. So they didn't have the means to fight against the British. And that is one of the reasons why Darul Deoband had come about. And when Darul Deoband was now formed, then this deen of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala perhaps went throughout the four corners of the world. That many of the madrasas that are in the world, all are branches of Darul Deoband. Maulana Qasim Saab Nanotvi rahmatullahi alayhi. So when the British had come in, they had issued a warrant of arrest for Maulana Qasim Saab Nanotvi rahmatullahi alayhi also, that he must be arrested. So the police, they came looking, they heard that he's in a certain masjid, we'll find him there. So they came to that particular masjid, they looked for Hazrat Nanotvi rahmatullahi alayhi. So Hazrat was there, and he was there. So when they went in, they expected a person that is well dressed, and a person that got people that are around him, serving him, because such a great alim, Maulana Nanotvi rahmatullahi alayhi was. So he was there, so they went up, and they saw this one person. Our Ghabirin were very simple. Qali Siddiq Sahib Banwi rahmatullahi has written about him. He used to travel overseas, wherever he's going. One packet. Just one packet. They put their clothes in the packet. Whatever they need, take that, lungi, kurta, whatever. And they used to travel. No shan, like I'm somebody, this type of a bag I must be carrying. And this is what I must be wearing. Nothing. Nobody walking with them. Nothing of that sort. Once, Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi, he was walking. And Dr. Abdul Hai Sahib Arifi rahmatullahi is sitting in the clinic in Pakistan. He's sitting inside the clinic. So while sitting in the clinic, he shows the people in the clinic, he says, you know that man walking outside? He's walking with a pot on the head. Now me and you, who'll walk with a pot on the head? He's walking with a pot on his head on the streets of Pakistan. So he asks the people in the clinic, you know that man that is outside, that is walking with a pot on the head? They say, we don't know. He says, that's the Grand Mufti of Pakistan, Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi. Very simple. Our kabirin were very, very simple. Innal bazazata min al iman. That is iman. That simplicity is part of iman. That is why the more person he comes down, Allah Ta'ala will take him higher and higher. Allah Ta'ala will elevate him in knowledge. Who can come close to these akabirin? But in worldly terms, they were absolutely simple. So nevertheless, here also, Mawlana Nanotvi rahmatullahi, simple man. So when he came in the masjid, so he asked Mawlana Nanotvi, he said, I'm looking for this man, Mawlana Nanotvi rahmatullahi. So Hazrat didn't want to speak a lie. So what Hazrat Mawlana Nanotvi rahmatullahi did, when he was standing, he took one step and he moved from there. And where he was standing previously, where he moved from, he said, Mawlana Nanotvi was here just now. Just now he was here, but he had moved away. This is what is referred to as Tawriya. Tawriya means where your life is in danger. There, Shariat has permitted a person that he says something. And the opposite party, he understands something else. So that is permissible. Where a person doesn't lie, but he acts upon Tawriya. So he acted upon Tawriya. Now, here Hazrat also mentions, he says, see, the benefit of photography being haram, they didn't have the photograph of Mawlana Nanotvi rahmatullahi. If they had the photograph of Mawlana Nanotvi rahmatullahi, today there are those that are saying it's permissible. So if they had, if it's permissible and people are taking photos, our photos are all over. It's on the Facebook, it's on the phone, it's everywhere the photo is there. So had they had the photo of Mawlana Nanotvi rahmatullahi, there was no need even to ask. He would have been arrested there and there. That this is the man that we are looking for. How Allah Ta'ala had protected him. in one place, as Rakim Sahab Rahmatullah has written about this photography, he said, see, your dadi or your nani, your grandmother, paternal or maternal, whoever it might be, now won't you respect her? Of course. And all your friends and other people also, they will respect her. She's 70, 80 years old. Everyone will show utmost respect. An elderly person comes in a masjid, we will make way for him. We will give him place to sit. So your, the nani or the dadi that's 70 or 80 years old, everyone is going to have utmost respect for her. But now if you have a picture of that same dadi or that same nani, when she was 17 years old, and she is now all dressed up. Now she's 80 and she's alive, but now you take that picture and you give it to one person and you show it to him. What will go through a man's mind first thing? His mind goes towards haram and towards wrong. So see how Allah Ta'ala had protected our izzat and our honor by making this photography haram. That woman, when she's old, she's respected. But you take her photograph when she was young and give that photograph to somebody. And what happens? How the person's mind goes in the incorrect direction. Similarly, Allah Ta'ala has protected every human being through this. For example, a person, maybe he has done some wrong in his life. Everyone commits errors, everyone makes mistakes, makes tawbah, Allah Ta'ala cleanses us up. But somebody has done something wrong. But now let's say photography was permissible. And a person, he took a photo of that person doing that wrong. He takes a photo. Later this person, he makes tawbah, he becomes the greatest saint. And many of our saints, every saint has a history. Every saint has a history. He was something wrong in his life and then Allah Ta'ala brought him up. And every sinner, it has a future. Nobody is a write-off. Who was Fuzail bin Ayaz rahmatullah? He was a bandit. What he became. And many, Malik ibn Dinar rahmatullah, perpetual drunkard. Where Allah Ta'ala took him. Bishar Hafi rahmatullah, drunkard. He's lying in the bar. From there, Allah Ta'ala took him out and made him the wali of the time. So that person now, he changed his life. And he became a wali. Now when he became the wali of Allah Ta'ala, what right have we got now to pick a fault and point a finger to that person? We got no right whatsoever. He's a friend of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The moment a person makes tawbah, he's got the crown of wilayat. He's the friend of Allah. He just has to work towards it and continue. Now imagine that person became the wali of Allah. Somebody took out his picture with a bottle in his hand. That this person, so many murids he's got. You know your sheikh, this is what he was. He was drinking. So see, in this photography being made haram, how Allah Ta'ala has protected us. Our izzat, our honor has been protected. Whatever Allah Ta'ala has made obligatory, Allah Ta'ala has made incumbent upon us, there's only good in that. And what Allah has made impermissible for us, there's only good in that. Allah Ta'ala has protected us in that. So Mawlana Nuti Rahmatul Ali, he used Tawriya. Mawlana Gangoi Rahmatul Ali, the British had issued a warrant of arrest for him as well. So Mawlana Gangoi Rahmatul Ali, he had guns also. So the British were informed that Mawlana Gangoi Rahmatullah has weapons. So they went in search of Mawlana Gangoi Rahmatullah. So they found Mawlana Gangoi Rahmatullah, and the British in India, they had established magistrate courts all over in the various districts. So they took Mawlana Gangoi Rahmatullah and they took him to the magistrate court. So the questioning, the interrogation now started over there. So they started questioning. They said that we heard that you got weapons. So Mawlana Gangoi Rahmatullah had weapons, but at that time his life was in danger. So he also acted upon the tawriya. He didn't lie. But when his life was in danger, he said something that is understood differently by the opposite party, and what he says, he means something else. So what he said, yes, I've got weapons. He had his tasbih. He was always in the zikr of Allah. So he said, this is my weapon. Meaning, this is my weapon against shaitan. وَمَنْ يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَنِ نُقَيِّدْ لَهُ شَيْطَانٌ فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِينٌ. Person that turns away from the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says, we appoint shaitan upon such a person. And shaitan becomes the companion of that person. So he made this. And then how Allah Ta'ala helped him? That one person was going past. So he saw all this questioning taking place. They questioned Mawlana Gangoi Rahmatullah. He said, what you people are doing? Ye to hamare mahalla ka muazzin hai. He said, this is the muazzin, he calls the azan in our locality, what you are doing with this man, what he's got by him? So they say, yeah, he looks like muazzin also, let him go. So they let him go. So this is how the British had come in, and this is how they oppressed the people in India, this is how they had troubled our akabirin as well. So at a time of need, where a person, his life is in danger, and he acts upon tawriya, then it is permissible as well. For example, that sahabi of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was being persecuted, And then they asked him to renounce his iman. So he renounced his iman in front of them. He came to Nabi al-Islam, Ya Rasulullah, this is what has happened. Nabi al-Islam said that, how's your heart? How's your heart? He said, my heart, iman is 100% intact. وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌ بِالْإِيمَانِ Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, don't worry, you're a perfect Muslim. And if they do this again to you, then also it is permissible for you to do it. There's no problem whatsoever. So these are certain instances, certain occasions where a person's life is in danger, he can act upon tawriya. So nevertheless, we were explaining that these ulama, the akabirin of Dioban, they went through a lot of difficulty as well. So this is the kitab of Shah Ahmad Shaheed rahmatullahi alayhi. Now in this kitab, we will basically learn how to perform a salah of khushu and khudu. Now these two terms we will always hear, khushu and khudu, khushu and khudu. And what, how do we normally refer to these terms? We say concentration and devotion, concentration and devotion. But we need to understand what are these two terms. These two terms. The one term is that of khushu. Now this khushu, this is the internal quality of a person. This is an internal quality. It is the quality of the heart, where the heart of a person is connected to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. When the heart is connected to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and this khushu now in that salah, what we say in our term, we say concentration in that salah, then no matter what happens around a person, he'll be oblivious of all that. For example, Muhammad bin Nasr rahimahullah was a great muhaddith. And there's many such incidents. This is just one incident I'm taking, that he was performing salah, and whilst he was performing salah, the wasp had bit him. So it's painful also. But he wasn't even aware of the wasp now biting him. So he continued his salah. Finally, blood started coming out from that particular area. But it had no effect whatsoever on the salah that that person was performing. We just a little scratch and finish. We scratching. Namaz starts and the scratching starts. And the itching starts when we start our salah. So here, Hazrat explains, he says that when that scratch comes or that itch comes when you're in namaz, before namaz, nothing happens. Allahu Akbar, finish, it starts. So he says, just tell yourself, see, I'll scratch as much as you want. Just let me finish these few rakats of namaz, 4 rakats or 2 rakats, whatever I'm reading. And after that, as much as you want, for half an hour, 1 hour, you want me to scratch, I'll scratch. And he says, in that way, just continue, finish your salah. But this is that concentration of the heart. That is that khushu. When this quality, a person is connected to Allah Ta'ala, then what happens around him, he is not even aware of this. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, he was asked the question. He said that, what is this khushu? He says that the heart is inclined towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The heart is inclined, it is connected to Allah ta'ala. This is khushu. And he says, your attention does not go to anyone else. It is only connected to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This is khushu. In the Quran Sharif also Allah ta'ala mentions, in Surah Mu'minun, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Certainly the believers are successful. Which believers? Ya Allah ta'ala brings a list. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Those that perform their salah with humbleness, meaning there's khushu in their salah. Internally, they connected to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now, it says, mentioned, before this verse of the Quran was revealed, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he performed salah, Nabi alayhi sallam would lift his gaze to the heavens. Why? Because initially, the qibla of the Muslims was towards Baytul Muqaddas. It was not towards Makkatul Mukarramah. For approximately 16 to 17 months, they face in the direction of Baytul Muqaddas. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's desire was this, that the Qibla must be moved from Baytul Muqaddas to Makkah Sharif. So Quran says, قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should look up all the time. Allah Ta'ala says, we see, you are turning off your face, قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ. You're turning your face towards the heavens all the time. Why? He's waiting for wahi. When is wahi going to come? When is Allah Ta'ala going to tell me now to face in the direction of Makkatul Mukarramah, and Kaaba Sharif becomes your Qibla? Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَاهَا. Don't worry. We will turn you in the direction of that Qibla which you are happy with. You want Makkah Sharif, we'll give you Makkah Sharif. Don't just wait a little bit. And then finally, after the 16 to 17 months, فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. Now face Masjid al-Haram, read your namaz in the direction of Masjid al-Haram. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, you would look up. We would look up, waiting for wahi and revelation to come down. But when this ayat of the Quran was revealed, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Those that have khushu in their salah, they have that concentration in their salah, the heart is connected to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It is mentioned after this, Nabi alayhi salam never lifted his gaze again. He kept his gaze now down, on the place of sajda, and this is how Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam performed his salah. And the same has been mentioned in regards to sahaba, that sahaba also initially their gaze would move around a little bit, but when this verse of the Quran Sharif was revealed, then sahaba never lifted their gaze again. Their gaze remained on the ground perpetually. So this is that khushu. This is one part, we'll just finish it off tomorrow inshallah. This is that khushu. When a person has this concentration, he is connected to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala all the time. Now whatever can happen around him, it means nothing to that person, because he is already attached and he is already connected to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We'll continue from here inshallah.